Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve and your midweek political check-in. Broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform, we're slogging through another political swamp thick with nonsense and bad intentions. Let's cut through the poo-poo and throw a little light on the chaos before it buries us all. We don't care if you chew gum during the podcast, but no blowing bubbles. All righty then, without further ado, here's Nick and Bubbles. Steve. Holy moly. Take it away, gentlemen.
Welcome one, welcome all to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Guys, gals, and our non-binary pals, welcome to the program.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a long time. We're ahead of the curve around here.
That's right. Yeah, we've been doing that for a while. Someone commented on the show, I don't know, last Friday, whenever we did it, and said, Steve does look like Bubbles. And I was like, who the fuck is Bubbles, dude? I didn't know there was real Bubbles out there. But
besides Michael Jackson's chimp, I don't know what that would mean.
I don't know. People have a lot of opinions on what we look like. Which, you know, like, we're on the internet, people look at us, you know, I'm always some sort of fat guy, and you've become for sort of the sensation for older guys with beards. I don't know what it is, but people have thoughts, Steve.
I'll accept that. You know, 30 years on the radio, no one ever saw what we looked like, so this is a whole new thing. And, there's been a few, I feel, unflattering comparisons. The Martin Mall, I don't know. Funny guy and all that, but I don't think I look like him. Steve Allen? I don't know. My girlfriend Googled good-looking guy with glasses and beard, and she sent me a picture of Ryan Gosling. So I was all right, that's a fair assessment right there.
Fair to who? Like you feel like it's actually what you appear to be, Ryan Gosling?
In my mind's eye, yes.
That's perfect, dude. Yeah. I love that you have that confidence. I don't know. I'll accept Kevin James. I think I look nothing like him, but yeah, I'll accept it.
CP says we're hot guys with beards. We'll accept that, too.
Yes, you're a champion.
Ryan Gosling should be so lucky to be compared to us.
That's right, for crying out loud. We got a lot to get into today, Steve. This wicked world, there's webs being weaved that I don't know where the destination we will find ourselves in.
Yeah. Well, happy 2026, everybody. Last time we talked, it was our year in review show, and I was Anne Franking it from the loft above a garage in Michigan. I'm back in the glorious home studio now, so I'm ready.
Feels good to be back.
It does. Yes, it does. It's so funny. I got off the plane, both Kennedy and I, and we walked outside here in Nevada, and the sun was shining. I was like, oh, we didn't see that for a week in Michigan, because that's freaking Michigan.
Yeah, well, now you know what I feel like, dude. Just soggy winters in Washington.
Yeah, listen, in my 10 years in Seattle, it does not compare to the months-long grayness of the Midwest. So you're fine.
Yeah. I feel like things are kind of gray everywhere in this country right now. You know, it's hard to see a little sunshine with our political landscape. So we're here to hit the hardcore news. What's going on? Your midweek political look. Hopefully we can brighten your day a little bit. I'm not saying that's a promise, but we'll try.
It's a possibility. It's on the list. So, yeah,
for sure.
All right.
Let's hop in.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Where's Nick?
I'm right here, dude.
Here. That's ICE looking for you.
I wouldn't be surprised, dude. Dude, let me tell you first. Everybody knows that President frickin' Taco Tits went in and kidnapped the Venezuelan president.
Yes. Right?
Everyone should know that by now. But I'll tell you what, dude, I felt like, remember when we used to work overnight radio and at like 5 a.m. or at 3 a.m., those bastards get out in the newsroom and news would start pumping. They were getting the jump on the day. Sure. I watched it all live, dude. I watched it go down live in the middle of the night. So
why were you awake? That's the question.
Insomnia, you know, just had insomnia. So, yeah. And then I started watching that. I couldn't go back to sleep.
See, that's funny. I didn't know when I was reaching out to you Saturday morning if you had seen it or not. I got woken up with a text from my dad. Just like, are you watching the news? And so I just immediately go to my phone. I'm like, well, I am now. I see we. Yeah. I see Nick and I were right, by the way. Not yes. that makes it better, but it's never no. bad to be right. You know, we've been saying for months that there was clearly more going on here than blowing up boats for drug trafficking. And then, you know, the theory about oil started popping in. We had Lev Parnas on, and he talked about the fact that this was a plan they concocted back in Trump's first term, that they were going to go after Venezuela because they wanted their oil and other natural resources. But back then, Maduro was willing to actually surrender and come to America to right. get witness protection. He wanted to live in Texas because he's a Cowboys fan. But, you know, the adults in the room around Trump told him, like, we can't do that. So they backed off the whole plan. But now here we are. And it was funny, too, Saturday morning when I was working out, actually, and Trump started doing the press conference. And I'm just thinking, like, all right, let's see if he slips and says it's all about oil.
Yeah. No, you said the quiet part out loud, dude, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he just overtly, maybe drugs came up once on that whole thing, but it was just oil. We want their energy. We're sending in. We're going to make money, like billions and billions.
Yeah. If, I'll tell. Okay. If you live underneath a rock and somehow you're still finding our stream to talk politics, I'll play a short video. This kind of goes into Trump just describing the operation, what went down, what it looked like for people.
You know, people are saying it goes down with one of the most incredible. It was so complex. 152 airplanes, many. Talk about boots on the ground. We had a lot of boots on the ground. But it was amazing. And think of it, nobody was killed. And on the other side, a lot of people were killed. Unfortunately, I say that, soldiers. Oh, yeah. Cubans, sure. Mostly Cubans, but many, many killed. And they knew we were coming, and they were protected, and our guys weren't. You know, our guys are jumping out of helicopters, and you're not protected, and they were. But it was so brilliant. The electricity for almost the entire country was boom, turned off. That's bullshit. When they knew there was a problem. There was no electricity. Caracas, there's no electricity. It's not the only people with lights were the people that had candles. It was just off. So we sort of got them a little by surprise, but it was brilliant tactically. It was an incredible thing.
He just said they knew we were coming, and then he said right. We kind of caught them by surprise. I mean, everything in there was bullshit. He talks about the power being off everywhere. And if you watch the initial footage of the strikes, the streetlights are all on in that video. Like, the power was on. He said they knew we were coming. We find out a couple of days later that he told all the large oil companies that this was going to be happening. Right. So maybe they did know he was coming. Who knows?
Well, they did. And in that speech, he was even like, you know, we can't tell Congress. Congress is a bunch of leakers. Right. We couldn't let them know we were coming, although they all knew we were coming. So, he did talk to the oil companies. We have also learned that two news outlets, I don't want to say it off memory, but two news outlets knew it was going to happen. And the Department of Defense, not the Department of War, asked them to hold back the story until they were ready. So now it sounds like one of the worst kept secrets. And the notion that they didn't need to tell Congress because it was a law enforcement operation with nothing but military is such garbage. And they've been, just lying left and right this past several days that, this isn't about regime change or it's not about invading another country. We literally invaded another country, kidnapped their leader, and are changing the regime.
Well, and they're still saying that it's not about a regime change. It's about, you know, freeing the Venezuelan people and, you know, making things safe again. But when he's doing his weaves, I mean, they're so telling right now because they're just all over the place. It's all about the oil. There were drugs there. We got to get the infrastructure up. We're in charge. They're in charge. I mean, it's all over the place. Can't keep a story straight. And obviously, we know what's going on.
Yes. Here's a question in the comments I'd like to address. Hi, quick question. Not American, but why do you call yourself Americans? Is that a trick question?
Not American, but why do you call yourself Americans?
Like, geographically speaking, you don't know why we call ourselves that, or you don't know why we still would go by that title anymore? Like, we would be ashamed or something? Like, I don't know. I'm not totally sure what that means. So, clarify if you'd like, but, you know, love us or hate us, we are Americans. We are here on really American media. Like, I'm not going to give up on the American flag or being called an American or being a patriot, being really American. That's what the channel is about. Like, if you're really American, you actually believe in the Constitution and due process and the rule of law. Like, well, that's what being really American is.
And it's the only reason we're here. I mean, we went through a first term with this asshat and had ideas of leaving this country, going somewhere else, you know. But, hey, when this one popped up, we said, hey, we can't go anywhere, dude. I mean, who are we to leave and not make the fight happen right here on the front line? So.
Absolutely. And just to address real quick, I keep seeing a lot of people this past several days say that, you know, guys, Maduro was a bad guy. How come you're not in favor of this? Like, I can walk and chew gum. There's two different things going on here. I don't think Maduro is a good guy. I don't think he was doing good things there. No. But, you know, I can make the same case about America right now, that our leader is not a good guy, that he's exploiting, you know, America's resources. He's lining his own pockets. He's defying the Constitution. Yeah. But if England invades or Canada invades and kidnaps Donald Trump and Melania, half this country probably would be in the streets cheering, and I'd probably be out there with them, but it doesn't make it correct or legal. The ends don't justify the means, and that seems to be Trump's mantra. Ends justify the means.
He's doing it very judiciously. I don't think he knows what judiciously means, but you're 100% right. Not saying we're fans of Maduro, but like this just isn't how you do something. You know, it's like you wanting to get your kid to behave, so you abuse them, you know, physically to get them to behave. Like, that's not how it's done, dude. It's not how it's done. So.
I'm just going to follow up. I'm starting to think this guy's a troll. Just one last comment here. Do Canadians all call themselves Americans? Typo, I think there. No, yet they also live in the Americas. Listen, I understand the continent is North America, Central America, South America. Canada doesn't call themselves Americans because their country is called Canada. Our country is called the United States of America. Yeah. So that's why we say we're Americans. Like, I don't know what the game is. We'll just put that out there.
We're done with it. So, like Steve said, you know, we called him talking way before all this happened. We said, yeah, it's obviously about the oil that started trickling in. And, this is what he said. Just, I think this was a day after. So, here you go.
Next 2 weeks, what do you need from Delcy Rodriguez? You've threatened Delcy.
Total access. We need total access. We need access to the oil and to other things in their country that allow us to rebuild their country.
What other things?
A lot of things. Roads that aren't built, bridges that are falling down. Yeah, bridges that are falling down. Nobody can go anywhere. A lot of Cubans were killed yesterday. You know that. A lot of Cubans were killed.
Look at the smile on Lindsay.
The bodyguards. No, they're looking. But there was a lot of death on the other side. No death on our side. But there was a lot of death on the other side, unfortunately.
Thankfully.
But a lot of Cubans were killed yesterday trying to protect him.
It's a big fucking joke to them, dude. I mean, I have never seen when you hear the statement, oh, you're like a pig in mud. Donald Trump is a pig in mud right now. We've always said on this show that he wants to play with everything at his disposal. And, you know, we're seeing him play with one more thing unconstitutionally, but he's playing with it. And I've never seen him happier, to be honest with you.
No, you're totally correct. He loves being king dictator. He loves playing with all the tools. He loves that he's basically playing a video game, sitting there in Mar-a-Lago and sending troops to do his bidding, who they are in harm's way, and we're lucky none of them died, but they certainly could have. And I hate his dismissal of, well, we killed some Cubans, we killed fishermen in boats, like, we're America, we get to do what we want. And what the fuck is he talking about? We're going to rebuild bridges and roads, and how about we do some of that here in America. What happened to America first? Make America great again. Yeah. And I'm happy that some MAGA are denouncing this, but most of them are doing the old mental gymnastics to figure out how this somehow is in our benefit.
Got a bunch of mental Simone Biles around here, dude, because it is nuts to see where we come from with Trump and his campaign promises. Promises made, promises kept. And this is definitely not on the list. These whole 8 months. Where are we? What month is this? Are we in January now? Yeah. This whole time that he's been in office has not been the exact promises made, promises kept. This ICE thing didn't go down like he said it was going to go down for rapists, murderers. We're going to get the bad people out. He's been doing more than that. So he was kind of pushing some of the MAGA crowd there, being like, I don't know if this is what we were voting for. And it just keeps to seem like it's going further and further. And I'm wondering, when are they going to leave? When are they going to denounce him and be like, no, this is out of control? And I think the answer is never.
Never.
That's
completely the correct answer. And didn't Trump say in that speech on Saturday that, you know, we're going to profit off this. This will be a gain. It's not going to cost us anything, right?
Yeah, completely. Well,
President Donald Trump said American taxpayers might be on the hook for rebuilding Venezuela's dilapidated oil sector. On Saturday, we obviously invaded. He said we're going to make a bunch of money. The raid was a culmination of a months-long campaign of aggression against Venezuela as the Trump administration bombed several boats originating from the country, seized two oil tankers. Trump maintained the boats were carrying drugs. However, on Sunday, the president explained that he is just interested in Venezuela's oil reserves. So, like we said, not hiding it at all, but he has gone from the oil companies are going to pay for it to they're going to pay for it, and then we're going to reimburse them. Yeah. And then what? Hope to get paid back down the road. And by the way, every expert I've seen has said it's going to take years to rebuild their oil infrastructure, let alone bridges and roads and everything else.
Yeah, I don't know. Is 25 years for an oil infrastructure old? You know, I keep hearing that. Oh, this is, you know, 25, 30 years old. Like, they seem to be pumping oil there. But you want to pump so much oil out of Venezuela that, again, is not yours. Yeah, I'm sure you got to make some upgrades, dude.
Yeah. Well, you watch Landman. I don't know. I don't think 25 years is old if you take care of it. And, you know, it's not been a secret or anything deniable. Venezuela has not been taking care of it and not been pumping as much as they could and all that stuff. But, yes, this is just like every other war over again. It's a distraction from the Epstein files, from the failing domestic agendas going on here. And it's just it's a land grab. It's a resource grab.
Yep. Nope, 100%. Somehow, this is lining his pockets and not the pockets of America. Not that that would make this right. If it lined the pockets of America, it would not make it right. Let me be clear. But this is not lining our pockets. This is lining his pockets.
Absolutely. And I find it funny. You know, there's been a few examples where the Trump administration realizes that they can lie to all of us publicly, but they can't lie when they go into court.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they can just make up whatever they want from the pulpit, you know, on a press conference. But they know when they go into court that they cannot lie under oath. They cannot submit false documents or make misleading statements to the judge. Like, they have to play by the rule book when they're in court. And we just there are checks and balances in the court system.
You're supposed to, yes. Yeah.
Well, in theory, yes, but there is accountability. A judge can fine you or lock you up or throw your case out because you're lying about stuff. And Trump world just got busted, flat out lying about Maduro. And it's because of what I'm just talking about here.
What is the lie?
Pam Bondi forced to admit that Trump's Maduro claim is complete fiction. Justice Department prosecutors under Pam Bondi were forced to admit that the central claim that Trump used to lay the groundwork for ousting Nicolas Maduro was fiction. The president for months has promoted the claim that Maduro was the leader of a drug cartel called the Cartel de las Soles. He brought them up in that press conference on Saturday. Now, DOJ prosecutors say the organization does not exist. Prosecutors still accused Maduro in a New York courtroom yesterday of participating in drug trafficking, but they distanced themselves from this claim that the Cartel de las Soles is an actual cartel, and it does not appear in any of the documentation that they submitted to the courts.
So fucking stupid, dude. So stupid. I mean, you know what? What I was commenting on, Steve, is we've obviously seen lies told in court through for the last 10 years. But it's most of the time, even last time Pam Bondi was questioned, you know, she can get around just kind of filibustering, talking about different stuff and not answering the question. But when it comes to just outright lying, this is a fucking huge one, dude. Just making up some, you know.
Yes.
Fictional organization. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, spot on. So, yeah, like I said, a classic example. And also today, the United Nations has finally weighed in because we heard over the weekend that the UN would start to investigate this because it does seem to be a violation of international law, right?
Yeah.
Well, United Nations chiming in today. The world community must make clear that the U.S. intervention in Venezuela is a violation of international law that makes the world less safe. This is from the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights. New today.
Amen.
Violation of international law has made the world less safe. That's the United Nations.
Yeah. And I'll take it from them, dude, way before I take it from this orange clown or any of his cronies.
Yeah. And I'm just, I don't want it, but I'm waiting for some backlash, for some terrorist attack, you know, domestically or, you know, soldiers being attacked abroad. I mean, some there's going to be blowback. There always is.
Did you see the Iranian banner that was put up on a building? I mean, there are some vague threats coming. Look at this banner, dude. Okay, here. Watch out for your soldiers. So there are, like, just vague threats coming through. Like, I mean, come on, dude. What do you think about that banner? Like, I mean, it's enough to be like, oh, yeah, people are noticing. Trump, I almost feel like, doesn't think people are. He thinks he's so powerful. The American military is so powerful that no one can do anything.
No, he doesn't care because he's not on the front lines, nor are his sons or, you know, nephews or anything else. So, sure. And that does not seem like a vague threat. And, of course, there's going to be casualties or blowback at some point. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people in the comments section are asking, like, what's next? Is it Cuba? Is it Greenland? Is it Colombia? I mean, these are all valid questions because Trump seems to have gotten a taste of global domination and is already starting to make threats.
Yeah.
News alert came out yesterday. We have tanks amassing on the Colombian border right now. Why is that?
Yeah. Well, we know why, dude. We know what's going to happen. This is not going to stop. It's the first thing I said to my wife. I was like, oh, this doesn't stop here. No. Like, obviously, she agreed with me that we just lit the fuse, in my opinion. You know, this is crazy.
He's emboldened. He got away with it so far, and it doesn't look like Congress is going to rein him in. I don't even know what the hell Congress is doing anymore, other than just rubber stamping. I don't know what we need them for that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. So, Colombia, you're on the list. Cuba, you're on the list. He threatened Mexico already, saying that something's, you know, got to be done with them. But then, like Paul here says, so what happens when Donald Trump decides to annex Greenland? This is a great question because I want to say that it's a fantasy that that can never happen. But, I mean, this week we saw Stephen Miller's wife send out that stupid text where Greenland is covered in the American flag. And she says soon her dumb husband has doubled down saying we're not ruling out military intervention. The United Nations spoke out against us today saying you guys, you can't take Greenland. And I'm just dying to know what the hell the justification would be. Because at least in Venezuela or Mexico, they can say, hey, cartels or whatever, even if it's bullshit. What the hell are you going to say about Greenland? You hate Bjork?
Same thing you say about Venezuela.
We want it. I want that. I want that.
I mean, Trump was asked, obviously, about Greenland. And look at the way, I mean, Lindsey Graham sitting by him. What a little lapdog that Lindsey Graham has become to Trump. But look at them. They just look like they're having a good time, joking, laughing. And this is a serious question about Greenland.
Yeah. And on Greenland,
but Greenland now?
Yeah, we're up on Greenland.
How did we come up to Greenland?
So, do you expect to take an action against Greenland?
Well, I don't want to talk about Greenland. Let's talk about Venezuela, Russia, Ukraine. We'll worry about Greenland in about 2 months. Let's talk about Greenland in
20 days.
Venezuela. We talked so much about energy.
By the way, I have to. I will say this about Greenland. We need Greenland from a national security situation. It's so strategic. Right now, Greenland is covered with Russian and Chinese ships all over the place. We need Greenland from the standpoint of national security. And Denmark is not going to be able to do it, I can tell you.
Okay, first of all, Bjork is from Iceland. That may be true. But she's standing up for Greenland. Okay, she's been all over the news several days. Secondly, the reason I say it's bullshit that we need a first, national defense, we do. But we already have a military base there. We already have a cooperative agreement. Denmark, who runs Greenland or whatever, has said, you guys want to expand your presence there? You want to build out the base? Go ahead. We're not stopping that. But stop saying you're going to take it.
Yeah.
Fuck. I mean, is that a bridge too far? Would people finally freak out if we invade a peaceful country that has done nothing to us, is not trafficking fentanyl? Not that Venezuela is, but I mean, what the hell?
I think the truth of the matter is that some people would freak out, and hopefully most of us would. But there's this population, dude, that doesn't care. There's this population. I love the poorly educated, the people that never voted before until Trump ran for office, that think this is a board game that we're trying to win somehow globally.
Yeah. Now, Lindsey here, he's just blowing smoke out of his ass again. Maybe, but he's been bringing this up since he got into office. He keeps bringing it up. I feel like this is the classic, like when someone tells you who they are, you should believe them. Why do they keep bringing it up? Why would Miller's wife send that thing out and cause a global incident and none of them be like, whoa, 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 that's, you know, dumbass's wife. She doesn't speak for us. No, they've been doubling down. And for Trump to say right there, give us 2 months, we'll talk about it. Maybe 20 days, we'll talk about that. Like, they are not backing off of it.
No, they're not. And whether, think about it, whether it's a distraction or not, we still haven't seen the Epstein files, by the way. But, he's going to keep talking about this shit. And Stephen Miller's wife puts that stuff out because she thinks she's, you know, ribbing the libs and getting everyone excited. And it is because it's fucking crazy, dude.
She's not just ribbing the libs. She's causing an international, you know, dispute and crisis. And like, it just makes us look bad. It just, even the fact that the notion is coming up. But I really do think they're going to try to proceed with that. Whether they actually invade the country or not, they're going to try to take it over. Like, I don't think they're bluffing about any of this.
No, I don't think they are either. When this happened, obviously, in my lifetime, I haven't seen anything like this happen, right? where we go do this.
But we've seen it happen in Europe. I believe it was a guy named Hitler that started trying to take over.
In my lifetime, though, I've never seen it. So I thought to myself, well, what does that mean? You know, because I was watching this right when it happened. And then I thought, like, who's going to run their country? Like, you know, so, yeah, here's Trump being asked about the VP, and he's been all over the place with his comments on the VP of Venezuela and how she'll take over and how she's not going to take over, and she'll take over if she listens to us completely. You know, we need full access. Here he is being asked the question.
You said that she would face the same fate, if not worse, than Durham. But sounds like you're talking to her on the phone and wanting to work
not
with
me,
her.
My people are just the same thing.
Are considering her in power. Can you just clarify where you stand on Delcy Rodriguez?
I don't have to tell you. I just say that she will face a situation probably worse than Maduro. Because, you know, Maduro gave up immediately.
So she could also...
He raised his hand, he gave up.
He raised his hand and gave up.
Yeah. So, if she doesn't do exactly what we tell her to do, like, she'll suffer the same fate. So it is possible that he'll do this again to Venezuela.
Absolutely. And if the bar here is Maduro is a bad guy, there's lots of bad guys all over this planet. So, I say all or nothing. either let's go globally and just blow up every bad regime there is and just make, you know, the 51st state, the 52nd. Let's just take over the whole goddamn planet, or knock it the fuck off and follow international law. And by the way, like, what happened to international coalitions? Like, if Maduro was really that bad, like, we would have gotten other countries on our team. There would have been massive sanctions and all of this effort to avoid a war. And remember when we invaded Iraq, or was it Iran? Iraq? You know, W went on TV and was like, hey, we're about to come after you guys. Yeah. So you may want to get out of the major cities. Like, you don't just surprise attack somebody one random Saturday morning after you've been, you know, nonchalantly blown up boats and pussyfooting around the topic.
Oh, it's absolutely crazy, dude. You know, the cabinet that surrounds Trump obviously wrote the book on Project 2025. Stephen Miller, who just gives me the heebie-jeebies on every level, was asked a fantastic question by a reporter, and his answer I found to be a little lackluster.
Stephen, you were part of that group, the select group that the president said is his staff that is running Venezuela. What exactly are your day-to-day responsibilities?
Oh, shit.
Satan. The president of the United States has asked Secretary Rubio, who also happens to be his national security advisor, to directly, of course, under the president's close guidance and direction, to be the lead on this process. But obviously, there's many other elements involved. You have energy policy, treasury policy, financial policy, military policy. So it's a big team, a group of people. Everybody's working great and closely together, again, under President Trump's leadership.
What are you specifically doing?
I make a habit of trying not to talk too much about myself. I'm just happy to serve on this incredible team on behalf of President Trump, do whatever I can to support the president's agenda and direction.
Yeah.
As Greg and Blues says, demon in a skin suit.
Yes.
I think that's what his plaque on his desk says. And by the way, he and his wife are perfect for each other. She is a terrible human being. You know, they talk about like resting bitch face. She's just got permanent bitch face because she's a flat out freaking bitch.
Yeah.
And I use that word very, you know, ill frequently. But when you earn it, I will call you that.
Yeah.
If Steven is a fucking bastard asshole and his wife is, you know, right on par with him.
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, they're just bad people. There's no two ways about it. We talked a little bit when we were opening the show about the fact that are there some MAGA people calling this exactly what it is, illegal, complete bullshit? I guess there are. Gutfeld, is that that's the guy on Fox News that is supposedly a comedian, but, you know, he does a sit-down talk show.
Yeah.
He had a Fox News contributor on, you know, his show with him, and I thought this was an interesting conversation.
Some people might be feeling a little bit of whiplash here, given that Trump spent 10 years railing against U.S.-led regime change war. Mm-hmm. His own director of intelligence, as recently as 2 months ago, was railing against regime change war, and then he does one. So
is this a regime change? The regime is still there, as far as I know, the vice president.
Let me get this straight. We go to a country, we capture their leader, we bomb it, and then we say, we run this country now, and that's not war. But when they say send cocaine over here that people are willingly snorting, that is war.
Thank you.
I think I think that
doesn't make any sense.
It does not.
We went in, took him, bombed the country and said we're in control of it. That's regime change war. That's a guy being like, that's like a guy being like, hey, I did bang all these other girls behind your back, but I didn't cheat. You can call it whatever you want, but it is what it is.
Talk dirty to me. All right.
Yeah, nice point. But
I mean, talk about the mental gymnastics. And I've heard others say, no, it's not a regime change. We just arrested the bad guy. We invaded the country, we kidnapped him, and now we're going to run the country for some amount of time, probably. I mean, to months would be optimistic. This will stretch on for most likely years. So, of course, and he said he's going to arrest the new president. He said the opposition leader, the one the Peace Prize, no one respects her. Like,
yeah.
If this is not regime change, then what in the holy hell is it?
I said to my brother, who's MAGA, guys, I said, like, you're good. Are you good with this? I asked him.
Yeah, what did he say?
What do you think about Venezuela? And he was like, what are you talking about? He didn't even know about it on day one. Wow. Okay. He was like, I haven't been watching or listening to anything. I was like, oh, go check it out and I'll call you tomorrow. I want to know what you think about it.
It's part of why they did it over the holidays, because a lot of people were not paying attention.
Yeah, completely. He was like, he was just trying to, make small meat out of all of this. And I was like, what are you talking about? First of all, we'll talk about America first. First of all, we'll talk about no foreign wars, peace president. I'm the peace guy. I'm the peace guy. This is what you guys have been praising about him. And there's plenty of examples of all of this shit that happened, of people saying, Trump saying exactly what he wanted to do when he was running for his first term, and he carried this into his second term's campaign as well.
The world would be better off with Saddam Hussein
100%.
And Gaddafi in power.
100%. Now, as far as Assad is concerned,
what about the human rights abuses?
You don't think they're happening now? They're worse now than they ever were. People are getting their heads chopped off. They're being drowned. Right now, they're far worse than they were ever under Saddam Hussein or Gaddafi. And it all blew up around Hillary Clinton and around Barack Obama. It all blew up. Now, one thing about Assad, not a good guy. I understand that. We have to rebuild our country. Our country is falling to pieces. We have $19 trillion in debt. We have infrastructure that's a disaster. Our roadways.
Still have that. And yeah, Maduro, not a good guy, but we have our own problems, right?
Yeah.
These are endless wars. We don't want to get into another endless war, dude. I feel like that's what we just did, but I don't know why not everyone in the MAGA crowd sees it that way.
No, I mean, the MAGA hypocrisy knows no end. Whatever their dear sweet leader does, they will find a way to justify. I mean, it's truly insane to me. And like I said, I mean, he's been emboldened. He's not stopping now. He's not stopping here. So, the question of the day is, is Greenland next? And
yeah,
just stay tuned. I don't think it's going to take very long for us to get an answer on any of that.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to take very long to find all this out either. One thing I'll say about before we move on here is, Trump, you've seen the pictures, everybody, I'm sure, where Trump's in Mar-a-Lago in this little mesh tent, watching this all go down. And he said some really callous shit like, I was just watching it like I was watching a TV show. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, that's exactly how he thinks of this. Everyone is, he doesn't care what happens at the end of the day. He just wants this to go down and be a part of it. He said that he told the oil companies. He talked to the oil companies beforehand. And I saw, I saw this story that I don't know if you've seen or not, but I'm going to show it to you real quick and tell me what you think about it. All right.
The night before the U.S. military captured Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro and his wife, somebody somewhere placed an extremely well-timed bet. An anonymous user on the prediction market site Polymarket, where users can wager on nearly any topic, bet $32,000 that the Venezuelan president would be out of power by January 31st. Mm-hmm. The following morning at 4:21 a.m. Eastern, the president announced Maduro was in custody. And that user cashed out, making more than $400,000.
These markets are the...
Isn't that unbelievable to you?
It's so funny because Kennedy, my girlfriend and I, she was showing me that website like a week ago. And I said, like, how can you allow somebody to place a bet on something that human beings can control or know the outcome of? You can bet on sports because you don't know who's going to win or lose. But if someone on the team is going to throw it, if they know they're going to lose and they bet, like, it's the definition of like insider trading or, insider gambling, whatever you call it.
That's what Pete Rose got in trouble for, dude, with sports betting. But yeah, this is not like you're betting on a Deadpool. You're betting on actual events that are going to take place. And yeah, I mean, obviously this is insider trading on some level. Maybe an oil executive was talking to his kid. You don't think these people at Mar-a-Lago are drunk while they're there in the situation tent?
I mean, as we discussed earlier on in the show, people knew about this. Not only people in the Trump world, who are certainly not above some sort of insider trading, but he told oil companies, media outlets knew about it.
Yeah.
All sorts of people could have placed that bet. So, I mean, on one level, screw the company that's doing it, because you're creating this stupid way for people to enrich themselves. But obviously not fair to the rest of us to want to bet on inane things like that.
Yeah. No, it's crazy when you think, oh, somebody actually had that information and thought, yeah, I'll just put down everything I have. I'm sure it was not a rich person. Just I'll put my savings on because I know it's going down.
Yeah, betting 30 grand. I mean, I don't know. That does sound like a rich person to me that was just willing to blow 30 grand. I mean, who's the poor person that somehow had the inside knowledge? Maybe some reporter, desk jockey at some, you know, newspaper outlet or something. But
yeah, I just think like, if he told the oil execs and then the kid who was living in the house heard them talking and told a friend, like it could have happened to anyone, dude.
Yeah. Now, that whole website, I don't know how that thing is going to be sustainable. There was another bet I saw, something about if Caroline Leavitt in today's press conference says some word, you know, you can win money. Like, why would you not just go to Caroline Leavitt and say, like, I'll give you half if you say the word? Like,
yeah,
crazy.
No accountability.
This is the art of the deal. This is the art of the scam. They are coming up with every way they can to scam the system, to play the game. Like, it's crazy. Freaking crazy.
Hey, dude, but keep in mind, Trump is donating his salary. So, like, everything, yes. He's the good guy, dude.
I am so sick of MAGA idiots. He's not even taking a paycheck. Which, first of all, I haven't seen the receipts for that. But even if he is, okay, he gave up 200 grand or whatever the president makes. Like,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
And you brought up that war room pick. Did you, they tried to recreate the Obama where they were doing the raid on bin Laden and they're all sitting there in the war room. Did you see that fucking Twitter on the big screen in the background? Like, these morons are flipping through social media while they're invading a country.
Yeah. I mean, the tent that they're in, you can see, like, the serving staff through it. I mean, it's just crazy.
They're in Mar-a-Lago doing all of this with who knows wandering around the thing. I mean, what a joke. He can't even take time off golfing at his house to go back to D.C. and do this the right way in a secure facility and all that stuff. You know, Mr. Show me her emails.
Yeah. I know you don't watch trash TV, but Netflix released another trash TV show that my wife and I jumped on board. I wish I could remember the name, but it's that trashy. But it's about women in Palm Beach. It's kind of a Real Housewives of Palm Beach, but it's different. It's not that franchise. But the whole thing is them talking about getting into private clubs, and they talk about Mar-a-Lago all the time. And all these rich fucking people talk about how close they get to Trump and Elon and how easy they have access to tell them what they want. It's a real deal.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. I mean, we saw in his first term him showing war plans to a Chinese, diplomat or whatever in front of everybody. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. So pulling out classified documents that he had. Remember in the bathroom, he was like, look at this. It's crazy.
Yes. All right. Listen, we could talk all day about this topic, but it is January 6th today. 5 years ago today was one of the most outrageous things I've seen in the history of our country. And 5 years later, of course, Trump has pardoned all these people. They have tried to whitewash the entire thing, claim this was just a little protest that maybe got a little out of control.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely shocking. And I'm a little irritated that most media outlets are kind of letting them get away with it.
Well, it's that thing where, we've talked about it too much, Steve, it's like Epstein. You're still talking about this, he still says the same shit about it. So I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, it's the repetitiveness. It's the branding. You say something over and over and over and people just start to accept that, yeah, okay, maybe it was a little out of control or maybe it just, was some peaceful protest bullshit. But, in recent months here, you and I have unfortunately, shockingly, been saying that Marjorie Taylor Greene got kicked in the head by a mule or something and saying a lot of things that actually, you know, make sense.
Yeah.
And I should now call her former Congresswoman Marjorie.
That's right. Yeah, because she just, this is a resignation day. Is that true?
I believe so, or it was yesterday, but either way, she's former now. Now, I believe as of today, she's former. But I'm happy to announce she stuck her foot back in her big dumb mouth today.
Oh, good. I didn't hear it.
Yeah, so let's see. Former Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene honored the rioters who stormed the Capitol building 5 years ago. She posted on X, quote, "I'll never forget going into the D.C. gulag in November 2021 and seeing the J6ers who were being held over 22 hours a day in solitary confinement, even though they had not been convicted and were pretrial. They were broken men. Words can't describe it. At 9 p.m., unexpectedly to us, one of them fetched this hand-drawn American flag piece of paper and went up on the second level and held it high, and they asked me if I would join them in singing the national anthem. Their melodic voices, which combined their deep sadness and their unwavering patriotic conviction, is a sound I'll never forget." She called them patriots.
She said that today?
Yes.
Wow.
Tweeted it.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's proof. I mean, good thing she's gone. Like, yeah. You know, for anyone who thought, like, maybe she's fixed now and she's going to be reasonable, obviously not. So,
I mean, Meg is the morons that every time they're like, oh, the Black Lives Matter protest, you guys burned down your city, which, you know, out of dozens, if not hundreds of protests, you know, one gets out of control and they fixate on that one protest in that one town, you guys burned a car or something. But
yes,
I mean, the absurdity of how out of control that got. And I just remember sitting there that day watching it live on TV, just thinking, like, what in the holy hell is happening? Why won't anyone stop this? Trump, of course, back then said Nancy Pelosi could only one to call the National Guard. But nowadays, he calls them in for whatever he wants. I mean,
yeah.
I know to anyone watching this, the hypocrisy is obvious. But it was a shameful day. And it's even more shameful that we're just trying to say, meh, you know, tomato, tomato.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I still talk to people that say, like, it was an insurrection. They were letting them in for tours. I was like, dude, get over yourself. Have you watched the footage? Well, I haven't seen all of it. Well, until you do, until you watch some of the video that the select committee put out that wasn't all over the news for ages, don't talk to me about it again, dude, because it's unmanipulated. It's real footage. No police officers died. A couple have killed themselves after, but that's not that big of a deal. They would have done it anyway. Like, the mental gymnastics are incredible. And yeah. Trump, the way he talks about this, I mean, it's reminiscent of how this he talked about it when all of this started.
That's
quite
why,
frankly,
I like being on. I'd much rather do live television than do non-live, because, like, when they say, as an example in my speech, peacefully and patriotically to the Capitol, peacefully and patriotically. Do you know that the Unselect Committee didn't report it, that I said those words? Yeah, do you know that the news never reported the words walk or march peacefully and patriotically to the Capitol? Do you know they never reported it? It's a scandal. The Unselect Committee never reported that. They never reported that Nancy Pelosi was offered 10,000 soldiers. National Guard soldiers, whatever you want. No, I don't want them.
Bullshit. And why would you need her approval? And that whole freaking lie about they didn't say that I said peacefully and patriotically, that little clip has been covered a million times. But when you sandwich it around, they're taking your country and we got to fight for our freedom and they stole the election. So peacefully march up there and let's take back our country and let's stop.
Yes.
Like, you know,
yes.
That bullshit would not fly anywhere. If I run into a theater and yell, fire, fire, don't panic, fire, fire.
Exactly, dude. You can't, he knows, everyone knows, John Eastman knows, all the people that were involved in this knew. You can't say that. Lawmakers from both sides, congressmen, were talking and saying, you know, is he going to stop this? And he wouldn't for how many hours? 3 hours plus? I mean, it was crazy, dude.
And Lindsey Graham famously came out that day and was like, I'm done with MAGA, done with Trump. This is, you know, unacceptable. And now, as you just played, he's up there sucking, you know, Trump's taint.
Yes. Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, there's so many stupid examples of what's happened since then. But how about this one? Approaching the fifth anniversary, which is today, reading an article from yesterday, the official plaque honoring the police who defended democracy that day. Do you know where it's on display on the Capitol grounds, Nick?
I don't.
It's not on display anywhere. It's nowhere to be found. Mike Johnson and the Congress have never displayed it. They've never hung it anywhere. They have it sitting apparently in some sort of storage closet. And Johnson has been asked about it this week. And just today, his crony said that something about the law was, you know, unimplementable. Like we couldn't do the plaque. So it's in some freaking closet somewhere. And I will say there are 100 duplicates of it, replicas that Congress members have made. About 100 of them have hung them outside their office doors. But the official plaque has been shoved in some closet, swept under the rug.
Let's really think about this for a minute, all right? We are at a five-year mark, okay? Five fucking years they've had to hang that plaque. Within 2 weeks, they approved statues of Charlie Kirk going up and made his birthday a fucking national holiday, dude. I'm living in delusion land.
Yeah. You can't put the plaque up there because that acknowledges that it was a bad thing. And like we just said, you know, denial's not just a river in Egypt. They're all drowning in it. So the party that claims to back the blue is willing to spit in their faces by refusing to hang up a plaque honoring those that fought that day and those that did kill themselves later. And I would love to hear any of those idiots say that a soldier that comes home with PTSD and commits suicide, didn't die as a result of what they had gone through.
Thank you. Amen, dude. Yep, 100%. None of it makes sense, dude. And it hurts my head to even think about it and try and wrap my head around them not hanging the plaque. It's absolutely nuts. I mean,
and by the way, if their argument is true, that these people, you know, they were upset about a cause. Yeah, they showed up. They smashed a couple of windows. Like, what's the big deal? Well, J.D. Vance's home was attacked yesterday and some windows got smashed. And we now know who the suspect is. And do you think they're going to honor this person as a proud patriot that was simply, you know, expressing their opinion? Who cares if they smashed a couple windows on private property?
It's the people's house, dude. Come on.
And get this. This is interesting. The individual accused of attacking Vice President J.D., which stands for Junior Dictator.
That's right.
J.D. Vance's Ohio residence is a transgender woman who enjoyed considerable wealth and privilege growing up. Our father, some rich guy, major Democratic donor. This woman is 26 years old, faces charges of obstructing official business. Not sure what that means, which, by the way, was what the J6ers were also accused of.
Yeah.
Criminal damaging or endangering, J6ers, and criminal trespass and vandalism, J6ers. These are all things that they were accused of, but now we're supposed to accept that they're patriots or whatever. So is this transgender woman a patriot in their eyes?
It's she'll be treated different by the Unselect Committee, dude. You know, she's gonna she'll be held responsible for everything she did, and she should be. I mean, you can't do that. You can't go do that, obviously.
No, exactly. I'm not saying it's okay, but I'm just trying to A, point out the hypocrisy, but B, you know, this just came out today. So as the news spreads that a transgender person did something, they're of course now going to try to capitalize on that and, you know, ban transgender or whatever the hell fear-mongering they're going to do. But is it any surprise if you repeatedly attack a certain demographic that we've talked about is less than 2% of the population, but that's still, I don't know, thousands of people, that one of them got a little pissed off and decided they were going to fight back and that they wanted to go smash your window or something? Like, if you put your boot on the throat of people, some of them may lash out.
Yes. When you punch down on marginalized communities over and over and over again and tell them they're trash, they're going to start acting like it at some point, or at least some of them will, and start to fight back. This is, while everything is going on right now with Venezuela and everything else, Trump, because of all of this, I'm assuming, is starting to bring this old comedy routine back into the spotlight for us.
But the weightlifting, but no, the girl gets up. And you see, I want to be more, but I have somebody watching. I want to be more effusive. I want to really,
What?
But she gets it. And
listen to the crowd just like laughing and cheering along. And I mean, he's just talking about bullshit. I mean, transgender for everyone, Steve.
He did say that again today. So yeah. My new video on Really American Today is all of about this speech. There was multiple highlights, or as I called them, lowlights. And yeah, he brought the transgender for everyone back up. He said that in Minnesota that they're sending kids home from school, different genders. And he had the, he asked somebody in the front row, who I assume was from Minnesota, like, that's true, right? Right. And apparently the person was like, yes, Mr. President, it's true. The old emperor that has no clothes on. Like, of course it's not fucking true. And the, that thing right there, he's talking about the weightlifting, which is not him going to the gym. That's how he describes his stupid white guy dance. And the funny, sad thing is that while he's sitting in front of a room of sycophants that won't say the emperor has no clothes on, that part of the speech is he's talking about the fact that Melania has told him, stop doing the dance. It is unpresidential. It is embarrassing. Stop it.
Yeah.
But then in just a display of utter historical ignorance, she apparently said to him, FDR would never do a dance like that. And Trump said in front of everyone, like, she says FDR would never do it. And the room starts laughing because they know what Donald and Melania don't know, that FDR, for the majority of his presidency, was in a fucking wheelchair.
Yes.
So of all presidents, you say the guy in a wheelchair would not be dancing like that? No shit, Sherlock. But Trump never brought that up because I don't think he's aware of it. He was just like, well, FDR was very dignified. Like, yeah, that's what you meant.
The guy seemed lazy, always sitting down. You know, like, he's just so fucking clueless.
Oh, and then that segues into him talking about Maduro doing the dance. And this is pathetic, but the New York Times reported that, according to sources around Trump, the final straw when they decided to go into Venezuela was Trump watching Maduro on social media doing his own dance. Which, by the way, he was actually trying to do a dance. He was not doing the weightlifting bullshit. But just think about that. That is like a high school girl that's like, oh, Becky does a better dance video on TikTok. I'm going to go TP her house or something. Like, this is our president pissed off at a social media dance video. So he invades a country and kidnaps their leader.
Yeah, 100%, dude. You want to see the dancing video that pissed them off?
Yes.
They've been after this guy for years and years and years. And, you know, he's a violent guy. He gets up there and he tries to imitate my dance a little bit.
Decirle al pueblo de Estados Unidos, no a la guerra. No queremos una guerra en el Caribe ni en Sudamérica.
Wow.
No. No war. No a la guerra, loca.
He's hitting drums, dude.
No crazy war. No. No.
No one.
¿Cómo se dice en inglés?
Except that MAGA crowd thinks that that dance is funny or entertaining in any fucking way, dude.
Yes. And Trump said that today. Like, I told Melania, if it's unpresidential, like I ended up as president, everyone cheers for me. They're laughing at you, not with you.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, he's like the homeless guy that does some weird dance and people throw a quarter at him. Like, do that funny thing you do. Like, I mean, talk about embarrassing. And, yeah, that whole speech today was just unhinged craziness from Dementia Donnie. Yeah. When that dude is not reading off a script like he started on Saturday with the Venezuela announcement, as he's looking down the entire time, you know, reading off the script. Right. Apparently don't have a teleprompter in Mar-a-Lago. But
yeah,
whenever he speaks off the cuff, I mean, it is just embarrassment after embarrassment. And yeah, dementia on full display.
And you know what? He's got enough people. I was listening to Mark Kelly. He did a I recommend to everyone, if you didn't watch Mark Kelly with Jon Stewart last night, to go watch the interview, because it was a really good interview. But Mark Kelly was talking about the fact that I've tried to surround myself with people throughout my career that will tell me I'm wrong. I want to be challenged. It'll make me a better person. And Trump is not surrounded by anyone that tells him, oh, maybe we could do this a little different, or, you know, you shouldn't do that, dude. That's crazy.
He was in his first term, and that's why he did not invade Venezuela then. But now, yeah, by design, he's got nothing but sycophants around him, because he does not want to be told no, and everyone understands that. So, dude, that's all it is.
You're so on the money. I'm going to play you a quick video of Lindsey Graham kissing his ass again, because in the first term, Lindsey Graham was done, right? He said, I'm done with MAGA and everything else. Yeah. He's standing next to him on this plane, and they're talking about Somali pirates. And I have never seen, this is like a kid trying to say, oh, I think that's crazy that you told me that, Dad. You're really smart.
We don't let them take ships anymore. You know why? We use the same exact missile on them that we use on the drug carriers. And it's very effective. So, you notice there's nobody capturing ships anymore? Because as they head out to go capture the ship, and the ship doesn't want to fire back because it's very flammable stuff in many cases, we're hitting them so hard. And it's very similar. Same missile system. It's called Deadly Accurate. And did you notice that ships aren't being taken anymore? The pirates are...
That's right. I hadn't thought about
the
that.
The pirates aren't... Well, no.
No Somali pirates.
It's actually very easy. They head out. We say, guess what? There's pirates. Being at the end of the pirates.
No Somali. I hadn't thought about that. That's brilliant.
Yes. Did either of those idiots serve? I mean, we know President Bonesburg didn't.
No.
But they are playing with our army like they're freaking G.I. Joe toys.
They love it, dude. They love it. And that's why this MAGA crowd jumps on all this shit, because they're out playing these games, too, with paintball guns and everything else. You're just a bunch of idiots, dude.
No. Real quick, because you brought Mark Kelly up, I just want to throw this out. You know, Hegseth came out today. And is trying to strip Mark Kelly's military rank and screw with his pension as a punishment for filming that video that we talked about, where they simply stated the truth, stated the facts, like you should not be following illegal orders. Didn't say to defy legal orders, just restated the military code of conduct that you cannot follow illegal orders.
Yeah.
So Hegseth is lashing out and, yeah, trying to strip his rank. I mean, for a leading Democrat, an American hero, an astronaut, all that stuff. So I am somewhat proud to say, or I don't know if proud is the right word, I'm somewhat happy to say, two prominent Republicans today did denounce this. And, you know, they're high up there. Susan Collins, Republican from Maine, who has jurisdiction over the Pentagon's budget as the chair of the powerful Senate Appropriations Committee, said it's not appropriate to target Kelly's retired rank or pension because the video using members of the military to defy orders, they view as unlawful. She said, I don't think that's appropriate. Senator Tom Tillis, this isn't even better, called the Pentagon's censure of Kelly ridiculous, even though he strongly criticized the video urging service members to ignore illegal orders. He said, quote, the video was rage bait, but my gosh, he's a U.S. senator who operates in a political world.
Yes, of course, dude. And if you so Senator Kelly served for 25 years, and trying to strip him of rank and pension is absolutely crazy. And it is all based on that he, you know, said, hey, defy these unlawful orders. Isn't it curious? By his own definition, that Pete Hegseth, before he was completely fucking mind warped, used to say it all the time.
They won't refuse. They're not going to refuse me. Believe me.
Military leaders saying you cannot possibly kill the families of would-be terrorists,
yep,
and they would not follow the order. And his answer, Donald Trump's answer on what if the generals won't listen to you when you say take out the families? Say, oh, they'll listen. That's really not the answer.
No, I got some response from vets on that saying you're not just going to follow that order if it's unlawful.
Yeah, I mean, this video plays for a lot longer, but he goes on and on and says that, you know, a dozen more
bad
times.
Bad choices on the battlefield.
Of course, of course. And real quick, I just want to throw this out. You talked about, you know, Kelly, 25 years or whatever, and his pension being screwed with and whatnot. So when I was just back home in Michigan for the holidays, I was talking to some friends. I have one of my best friends growing up, I have completely lost touch with because he's been an FBI special agent for the last almost 20 years. Nice. And so he's not allowed to be on social media. He's, you know, on assignments a lot. And, you know, we've drifted away, and I'd like to reconnect with him. But he was a special FBI agent in New Orleans for the last several years. He has 18 years in. At 20 years, he qualified for a pension. He just resigned from the FBI, turned in his badge and gun, because he was told that he had to assist ICE in their operations in New Orleans. And he told his boss, I will quit if you're going to tell me, and he's part Asian, by the way, like, if you're going to tell me I have to, you know, serve the FBI by helping ICE, fuck you, here's my badge and gun. He did it. He quit the FBI 18 years in, screwed himself out of his own pension just to make a moral protest that, yeah, I will not have anything to do with ICE.
Tell you what, dude, when you said it, excuse me, it gave me chills, because these are the types of things that we need people to stand up for. And as we see, I mean, on a lesser level, but same type of protest of people at the Kennedy Center, saying, oh, I'm not going to play there. I canceled my gig. We need to have people start standing up and saying, like, this is wrong. I won't be a part of it. And kudos to him, dude. That's huge.
Yeah. And even funnier, he moved to Brazil. He was just like, I'm over this country.
That's insider information, dude. Maybe not. Maybe he knows. Like, man, get the hell out.
Right.
Dude.
So, yeah. All right. Well, we're over time as always, but comment section has been blowing up today. So as always, you guys are the vocal minority. That's what this show is named after, giving you guys a chance to have a platform to get in on the conversation. So as always, we appreciate everyone's support and encouragement.
Yeah, I've been getting some messages on our own webpage, thevocalminority.net. We appreciate those. You can contact us there or ask questions if you'd like to do that outside of the show. Yep. And yeah, we appreciate you listening. Check out our social media. And thanks for joining us here on the Really American Media platform. We'll see you next time.
And that'll do it for another edition of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for joining us on the Really American Media platform. Check out all our social media wherever good social media is found. Until next time, you tiny little bastards, good day.
Good day.